This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey. He's holding it down for us in New York City. And thank you to everybody tuned in, locked in, all over North America. This is when the show gets started, every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. So whether you happen to be at home, you happen to be at work, you sitting in traffic, you just flying by, you happy, you frustrated, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. I'm here with you. I'm going to make things better. I'll try my best to make things better. We'll be hanging out for the next 4 hours. You can always tune in on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, ask it to play channel 158, or hit it, make it turn to 158. And if you got a smart speaker, yeah, you can talk to that thing. Yeah, go ahead and ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. What a busy day. Here's some news for you. Giannis Antetokounmpo, he is not playing tonight. Game 2 against the Pacers, there will be no Giannis Antetokounmpo. You can go ahead and throw that out the window. Giannis is supposed to be Superman, but unfortunately, he still hasn't healed up. And so we'll see what happens with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Some other games that are going to take place throughout the course of the night. We got Phoenix and Minnesota. They get going in about 90 minutes. And in the late night game, we have Dallas and the Clippers. That game will take place at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. So we'll keep you up to date on the basketball games as they go on. We'll talk a little bit about them. And boy, oh boy, we had some wild ones last night. New York Knicks able to knock off the Philadelphia 76ers. You got the Nuggets able to defeat the Lakers at the buzzer. These were two amazing games if you were able to stay up and watch both of them. So we'll get into those games. Next hour, I really want to try to take some time to zone in on the officiating. There were a lot of folks, namely LeBron James, Nick Nurse, not happy with the officiating last night and feel that this determined or help determine the outcomes of the games. And so not only did we have that wild scene, that wild scenario with Aaron Boone last night, but you also had some problems in the NBA when it came down to the officiating. The Jokic brothers, yeah, you know the Jokic brothers. Yeah. Nicholas brothers, I don't know their names. I just know that these dudes are gigantic, and they're not afraid to scrap. And so we'll get into that later on in the show. On the NFL side, we got the Falcons. It looks like they're eventually going to get punished for tampering with Kirk Cousins. The punishment might not come this week, but the punishment will probably come. We found out about Caitlin Clark and her Nike deal, the type of money that she's going to be receiving, $28 million. Speaking of money, Andy Reid is now the highest paid head coach in the NFL. He's finally being rewarded. Man, the whole entire Chiefs staff, everybody in management is being rewarded. And then we're going to talk about some of the quarterback prospects later on in the show. So we got a lot to do. If you want to holler at me, if you want to communicate, it's real simple. The phone number here is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can also find me everywhere online, on social media, all over the place. I am at JR Sport Brief. Hickey, how you doing, man? You good?
Still buzzing, JR. Doing great. What a win last night. What an ending. Still can't believe it 24 hours later. To answer your question, doing great. Wow.
Well, you're talking about the New York Knicks.
That's right, sir. The New York Knicks and their improbable Game 2 win.
I was going to ask if you went to Game 2, but I realized you were sitting here on the radio with me.
I was, yes. I was with you. I guess I could have went to the Garden. It's only a few stops away and just go to the mosh pit afterwards, but I'm glad I did avoid that chaos, but
well, it's a, it's 7th Avenue, Madison Square Garden after a Knicks win is a, it's a mess in a positive way. I think so. I think it's positive. It is a mob scene, and it was a mob scene inside of the Garden, because when we got off the air last night, the Knicks came back to beat the Sixers, the final score, 104-101. The Knicks overcame a 5-point deficit in 30 seconds. Okay, this is the fourth time that this has happened since 1997, that a team was down 5 points in 30 seconds and they still won the game. Dante DiVincenzo, he knocked down a three to make it 102-101, and he just missed a three. I mean, this was an entire wild sequence, okay? Jalen Brunson, who didn't have the best of games, shooting the ball. He only finished with 24 points. He knocked down a three, okay? Jalen Brunson had this three rattled down. And then the New York Knicks were able to steal the ball and then kick it around. Nick Nurse is angry. We'll talk about him later on in the show, trying to call a timeout, says that the refs didn't do it. And so DiVincenzo takes this three and bricks it. And then here comes Isaiah Hartenstein. He gets the rebound out of nowhere, and it kicks it back out into DiVincenzo. A matter of fact, forget my lame explanations. Let's listen to Pat O'Keefe from the Knicks Radio Network. He describes it perfectly.
Inbound is knocked away by Maxey. Gets the ball back. Falls to the floor. Stolen by Hart. DiVincenzo, three-pointer, no good. Hartenstein, the offensive rebound. He kicks it out to Anunoby. DiVincenzo again. Knocks it down! Knicks lead! 13 seconds to go! Timeout, Philadelphia!
Yeah, and it was pretty wild because Maxey got the ball, raced down court, and then Hartenstein, who just grabbed the big rebound, blocked his shot. He blocked Maxey's shot, and then after that, we were down to free throws from Anunoby, and that was the game. And so it looked like the New York Knicks were going to go down to Philadelphia with the series tied at 1-1, but they overcome a 5-point deficit in a matter of 30 seconds. Now, after the game, Dante DiVincenzo, he spoke to the Knicks. He spoke to the media in general, and he talked about all this chaos that led to his ultimately game-winning three.
I felt like I missed the first one. And to be completely honest, that's why I was hoping that Isaiah got the offensive rebound, just because I knew I was going to get a second opportunity. We practice that every day, dagger threes and second chance threes. So once OG got it, just got my feet set and, live with the results. Trust the work that I put in, and thankfully it went down.
I appreciate that, because you got guys who will take the first shot and they'll go up, it didn't go down. He was ready to take it again. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't running. He wasn't hiding. He was ready to take the shot, and he knocked it down with no problem whatsoever. From the steal to the offensive rebounds, to the tenacity, to the lack of fear, the head coach Tom Thibodeau of the New York Knicks, the guy that, 47% of NBA players polled, they said they didn't want to play for this dude. Well, Tibbs, he said, I'm proud of the team that I got here.
Well, there's been some pretty wild finishes, but that was right up there with the best of them. And that just shows you what the playoffs are all about. And oftentimes it's a hustle play here, hustle play there, just finding a way to win. And that's what you need. You got to be a team, and I feel that's what we are.
Listen, the Knicks are a team. They're a scrappy team. They don't have Julius Randle. They have no choice but to hope
that some of their big-time players, some of their other role players can step up. Dante DiVincenzo knocking down that game-winning three, had 19 points. Josh Hart, this is a guard. Let me remind you, he is a guard. He had 21 points and 15 rebounds. I mean, you can't count on who's going to do what on any given game, on any given day, but the New York Knicks, we know that they certainly play hard. They may not be the star-studded team right now, but they play hard. And so where does that leave the Sixers? Besides being upset that they didn't get a timeout called, Joel Embiid finished with 34-10. Looked like the walking wounded. We actually talked about it on the air last night. Joel Embiid is sitting on the bench getting his knee tended to. Like, he's on the bench getting his knee rubbed. There was even a post online on social media that there's got to be something wrong with his eyes, okay? He can only blink one eye. Earlier in the day, he was wearing shades inside. At the press conference last night at his locker, he did not want to lift his head and be seen. Like, there's always something going on with Joel Embiid. And he looked like he ran out of gas at the end of the game. And Maxey, he was the one who earlier in the day, we didn't know if he was going to play because there were reports that he was going to be out with an illness. Well, damn it, he went sick last night. 35 points, 10 assists, and 9 rebounds. And yes, he lost the ball at the end of the game. Josh Hart able to steal the ball. Had another big turnover a couple of seconds before that ball went out of bounds, giving the Knicks some life. And so Joel Embiid, the man with the busted knee, the busted eye, Joel Embiid said, listen, folks, we are still the team to beat here.
We'll be 2-0, so, you know, we're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
Uh-oh. That's one of those scenarios where they say the take. Hickey, is it cold takes, frozen takes? Old, what is it called?
Old takes exposed.
If the New York Knicks win this series against the 76ers, that is not going to age well. I don't know who's giving Joel Embiid PR advice, but sometimes you just got to go out there and give the cliche, especially if you're Joel Embiid. And there's no guarantee that a game-to-game or game-to-game that you're going to stay healthy. Nobody trusts you. I don't know if Joel Embiid's brain can trust his body. This is an issue. A matter of fact, in about 10 minutes from now, we're going to have a conversation with Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer. We spoke to Keith last week. Well, now I want an update. What's going on with Embiid and his health? It's not just his knee. It's something with his eye. And Maxey was sick. And Nick Nurse was angry about timeouts. The Sixers, they are going to go back to Philly down 0-2. And we'll talk to Keith Pompey about this in about 10 minutes. But you want to know something? I told you, that wasn't the only good game that we got last night. Because the Los Angeles Lakers, they blew a 20-point lead for the Nuggets to come back and beat them 101-99. And they could thank Jamal Murray, who stunk earlier in the game, got hot late. But there was no shot bigger, no shot more important than this one right here. Listen to this, courtesy of TNT.
4 seconds, 3 seconds left. Why are they not fouling? Jumper Murray got it to hard. Denver mounts the comeback. They come back from 20 points down. They win game number two. 101-99 is the final. And the Lakers can take that L on the way out.
Wild, wild, wild. That was Jason Kosmicki from the Nuggets Radio Network. My bad. Listen to Jamal Murray explain how the hell he got that shot off on TNT. He's like, listen, my teammates, they believe in me. They love me.
I told my teammates when I was struggling, like, I'm going to look for y'all. I'm going to look for y'all. And every single one of them told me to keep shooting. Keep shooting. Be aggressive. Keep shooting. Even when I was throwing up that bullshit floater. they told me to just stay aggressive and keep looking for it. Keep hunting it. I had the ball with a few seconds left, and I knew once I made a couple, you know, the next one should go down as well.
Oh, the irony. Jamal Murray hits a game-winning shot over Anthony Davis. The same Anthony Davis who railed this week about not being named the finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. The same Anthony Davis who, by the way, last night, it wasn't just his fault, but he allowed Jokic to grab 20 rebounds, have 27 points, and also have 10 assists. Oh yeah, that's right. This was another absolutely ridiculous, amazing game by the Joker. Oh, I thought Anthony Davis was one of the best defensive players. Why didn't he stop him? And Anthony Davis, to his credit, had 32 points and 11 rebounds. But by the time we really got into the second half, Anthony Davis was like, he laid down and quit. It's almost similar to his press conference because he had a very simple answer as to what the hell happened as Jamal Murray, who's about, I don't know, 6'7", maybe 8 inches shorter than him, was able to get off that jumper over his long arms. Listen to this great explanation from Anthony Davis on what happened on the final play of the game.
Can you take us through that last play, just what happened and what unfolded? What was, I don't know if you were screened or what happened on that last play.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
Oh, that sound you heard was the sound of the microphone dropping, or Anthony Davis dropping the microphone on the table as Anthony Davis got up and left. No further questions, please. Well, at least Joel Embiid gave a little bit more of an explanation, even though we couldn't see his face, probably because he has a busted up eye. And there was a lot of beef about the referees, okay? Nick Nurse not happy, feels that he should have got a timeout before the steal that led to the go-ahead three. LeBron James not happy with some of the lack of foul calls, especially given the fact that they have an entire replay center. And so we'll talk about the officiating later on in the show. But the big men right now, there's no happy Embiid, there's no happy Anthony Davis, and the Lakers are down 0-2, and so are the Sixers. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We got Phoenix and Minnesota tonight. We have Indiana and Milwaukee with no Giannis. We have Dallas and the Clippers, unlikely, with no Kawhi Leonard. We'll talk about it all. We're going to talk some quarterbacks that are going to get drafted this upcoming Thursday in the NFL. We got a lot to do, but on the other side of the break, it's a conversation with Keith Pompey from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Congratulations. Happy Tuesday. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. A couple of days into the NBA playoffs, we've had some good games, some good matches. Man, we got some good games tonight. Phoenix and Minnesota in about an hour tonight. Pacers and the Bucks, also Dallas at the Clippers. Not necessarily sure about someone like Kawhi Leonard due to injury. We know Giannis is not going to play tonight, out again with that calf strain. And a wild game that we saw last night that we just discussed on the other side of the break involves the Philadelphia 76ers and the New York Knicks. Philadelphia giving up 5 points in 30 seconds to walk away with the L. A lot of controversy. Nick Nurse not getting a timeout call. We don't know about the health of Joel Embiid to talk about it all. We bring him back this time with the Sixers down 0-2. It is Keith Pompey from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Keith, how are you, man?
Yeah, I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
No doubt about it. Now, we spoke right before the series started, and we knew that a lot of this came down to the health of Embiid. We saw him go down on Saturday night with the knee. We saw him nursing the knee on the bench yesterday, look lame at the end of the game. And then we also saw some things with his eye, holding his head down in the glasses. What's the latest on his health, if there is any update?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the health, like, you know, I think he got scratched in the eye, and I think, you know, that's impacting him right now. And that's, you know, why he's wearing the glasses and everything like that. In regards to the knee, you know, at one point I was thinking he was around 80%, 90%. I mean, the way that he moves in the second half, it leads you to believe that it's worse or it gets worse, you know, as the game goes on with the grind, you know, the wear and tear, the grinding. And if you look at his stats in the first two playoff games, he goes on a decline in the second half. So, you know what I mean? I think that, you know, he's good enough to play. He's not playing close to his capability. But the problem is when he doesn't play, they lose a lot. They lose a lot. So, you know, it's one of those things where you don't want him out there to get injured, but and you hope everything works out well. But at the same time, if you want to win, you don't want him on the bench cheering. You know what I mean? It's a crazy situation.
You certainly don't. Keith Pompey is here with us from the Philadelphia Inquirer. We heard earlier in the day that Maxey was potentially out with an illness. Didn't look ill on the court last night as he went out there and dropped 35 points. Nothing to think about going forward, huh? I guess he got pumped full of some fluids and he was fine. Nothing to think about into the future, right?
Yeah, he got pumped. He was pumped with the fluids. And, you know, the thing about it is if this was a regular season game, let's say a regular season game in December or something like that, yeah, he wouldn't play. January, he wouldn't play. But with his team down 0-1 in the first round of the playoffs against the Knicks, he had to play, and he knew it. And the thing about it, when you talk to him, you can tell that he had a cold, right? But he wasn't kind of like, when you looked at him, you heard it in his voice, but you didn't see it. Like, he wouldn't look like somebody that was fatigued or anything like that. He just, you know, he just seemed like he had a cough.
So, Keith, we know he had the turnover at the end of the game that led to the multiple chances with the DiVincenzo three. Nick Nurse made it very clear he was attempting to call a timeout. Did we get any word? Did the Sixers get any type of word as to whether or not he should have been granted a timeout? Embiid also made reference to the two-minute report. Did we get anything?
Yeah, the two-minute report made a thing that the officials got some stuff wrong, you know, in there. You know, I was actually looking at it, you know, before I got on the phone, you know, with you. So, yeah, the two-minute report, you know, it picked up a lot of things, you know, that were wrong. But I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not a big fan with the two-minute report because if you look at it, it's always something, right? And you know, when you look at that video, you know, it was really subjective to when, you know, Nick Nurse called the timeout. And what I mean by that is, like, the first one that he had, it was kind of like at first he had his hands, like, with the tee. And then he took it down a little bit. And then in the second one, I think when he turned his back to call the timeout, at that particular point, Maxey had already lost the ball. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like it's one of those bang-bang plays. And but to me, the reason why they lost the game was because, you know, they didn't guard three-point shooters, nor did they box out. And that led to that, the center getting the putback. Getting to grab the offensive rebound, Arkenstein, and passing it to Dante DiVincenzo. So, you know, we could go debate this until, you know, people are blue in the face. But the facts remain is you got to help yourself too by boxing out and guarding 3-point shooters.
Keith Pompey is here with us from the Philadelphia Inquirer. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast. What did the Sixers hope to get from filing a grievance that they haven't been officiated fairly? Is this kind of just pushing the envelope. They couldn't expect anything from this, right? They're just making a fuss to pay attention for the next game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I mean, the game was already decided, right? The officials, you know, at that point, it was, what, 50 minutes after the game? The officials had already left the building, and most likely, right? So, I mean, they're not going to bring them back. They're not going to do anything. It's just a matter of, like, look, you know, we feel as if we're not getting a fair shake. You know, we feel like there could be a little bit of bias or something like that. You know, so I feel like that's what it was. Let's put the envelope. And then also I looked at it as, you know, right then and there, you have Nick Nurse saying what he said. You have Joel Embiid saying what they said. And I feel like the team wanted to also give them support. It's kind of like, all right, don't worry about this. We'll take care of it, right? We're going to take it out of your hands, and we're going to address the situation. But, yeah, that's more or less for game three. You know, they're coming to Philadelphia, and they want to make sure that they're going to get, you know, some nice calls and make sure that the officials pay attention to things and call the game, you know, closer than they were in games one and two.
Well, Keith, you mentioned game three going to be in Philadelphia on Thursday evening. What's going to be different? And has your outlook changed any different? Like, what do you think about the way the rest of this series is going to look?
You know, it's weird. Like, typically when in playoff series, like in anything, they say role players tend to play better at home, right? So when we look at, you know, we look at the Knicks role players, you say a guy like a Deuce McBride, you know, who had a phenomenal game in game one. He didn't shoot the ball as particularly well in game two, but he did some hustle play things. So then you look at a guy like Buddy Hield, right? You look at a guy like Kelly Oubre. I think that they could be guys, because they're going to have the crowd at their back cheering and doing stuff like that, that whereas they could ride the crowd and give them momentum, just like Deuce McBride got momentum when he was in the Garden, right? So that could happen. You know, the thing about it is, I think that another thing is, I think the Sixers have to put four quarters together. They really do. You know, because this past game, you know, they were up until those last 5 minutes, they were doing everything that you wanted them to do. You know, they played great defense against Jalen Brunson, right? They were like even in regards to offensive rebounds. They were keeping the Knicks off the board, so to speak. And then all of a sudden, within those last couple minutes, and especially down the stretch, it was as if they forgot how to block out again. It was as if they forgot how to guard Jalen. Because Jalen, people forget, DiVincenzo had a big three, but Jalen is the one that started it with his three-pointer. So to me, it's like the Sixers have to learn how to play a complete game. And hopefully for them, they can do that on Thursday.
Yeah, do you think that everybody got a chance until it's done? Would you favor the Sixers to bounce back and win this series, or do you think they're cooked?
You know what? I don't know. This is one of the bizarre series. Like, do you think, like, when you look at Joel Embiid and you see how Joel Embiid is moving, you have to say that you think that New York is going to win this series, right?
Right.
You have to say that. But when you look at this series, these were two games that the Sixers were in. But also they lost these games, and Brunson basically struggled, right? So I do believe that the New York Knicks are going to win the series, right? But I do think that when you're up 2-0 and you come in with a little bit of confidence, you know, I know you're riding high, you're doing this, you're doing that, and when you get into Philly, it's going to be a raucous crowd. You know what I mean? And they know all the chants that they said about Joel and Paul Reed, you know, the expletive Joel Embiid. So my thing is, I think that the big key is going to be, how are the Knicks going to be able to weather the storm? Because I think the storm is coming. It's just going to be, how can they weather it? And if they can throw some haymakers and some uppercuts, I think they'll be good. If not, I think the Sixers are going to win this one, game three, and then we'll, you know, have to reevaluate moving forward.
Well, Keith Pompey is here with us from the Philadelphia Inquirer. We heard the comments from Joel Embiid after the game, said we're the better team, we're going to come out and win this. In Philadelphia, could those words come like the back bite him in the backside?
You know what? I don't know. I don't think so. You don't want to know? I want to know why? Because if you think about it now, I remember back in the day, that was like taboo to say, like, you don't say that. And whenever someone said it, like when Joe Namath said that and he did it, everybody's like, oh, Broadway Joe, Broadway Joe. Now you got third string, like, power forwards and everybody's saying it, right? So it's kind of like, it's one of those things, if you come back and you say, well, it's tough, I hope we get them, then people are looking at you like you don't have any confidence. So to me, when I hear that, yes, it's good to talk about, you know what I mean? It's good to write about, but at the same time, it's like, he's just another dude saying, we're going to come back and win.
Okay.
What I mean?
Well, listen, with his health, with his injury history, I don't know if I'd be confident enough to say anything about playing, but hey, to each his own, Keith.
Yeah, true.
Well, appreciate you. Thank you again. Where can people follow you and your work throughout the rest of this series?
Yeah, you can follow me and my work. You can follow my work in the Philadelphia Inquirer, inquirer.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Pompey16er, the same for Instagram. And you can listen to my podcast, Locked On 76.
Hey, well, Keith, thank you again for taking the time to hop on. And we'll certainly see what these Sixers do at minimum over the next two games. I know they want to push it to seven. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Man, thanks for having me. I really appreciate you.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. That Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer. A lot going on in Philadelphia, a lot going on with the Sixers. They'll be back in action against the New York Knicks this Thursday night as they try to avoid an 0-3 hole. And so, yeah, everybody in the Wells Fargo Center, they're going to be making a lot of noise trying to will those Sixers into a victory. Because if they go down 0-3, we pretty much know it's a wrap. And the Philadelphia 76ers, watching Joel Embiid kind of labor through basketball games, is it's a difficult watch. It's a tough watch. At least Maxey was good to go last night. Should be better a couple of days later. But everything is always on Embiid. Now he scratched eye, bad knee. Last year was his knees and his hands and an orbital fracture. I don't want to give him too many orbits. Orbital fracture. It's just, it's bad. Hickey, orbital. Does Joel Embiid, he got a set of four eyes? Why am I struggling to say orbital?
He is maybe the best biology teacher we as sports fans have, right? You learn a new part of the body every year with Embiid.
With Joel Embiid?
Orbital, latest one. I mean, that's been around for a few years, but still.
Yeah, well. And he's 7 feet tall. What is he getting? Hit in the eye by the other centers, I guess. It's sad. I don't know. Do you feel bad for him a little bit?
I do. I like Joel Embiid. I like his personality. And I, like, injury prone, like, it is your body, but I think sometimes also it's just luck of whether it's players falling on you, you falling in a certain way, a foot there, a knee there, an elbow there. I do think he's been the product of being unlucky, and it does suck that every postseason of his career, we're talking about some sort of injury that's, you know, hurting his play. It is annoying.
Yeah, I feel like he's been busted up in some type of way since he came out of Kansas, which is accurate. His entire career, Joel Embiid has been busted up. It's amazing that he's been able to play as long as he has and get all-star recognition and win an MVP. He's absolutely amazing. He's just never available. And even if he is available, he's just never healthy, and you're always waiting on the next shoe to drop. Joel Embiid not happy with the results last night, and I mentioned this earlier, neither is Anthony Davis. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. On the other side of the break, I think we've talked about enough folks who are unhappy, and we'll get back to them in a little bit. Nick Nurse isn't happy. Embiid isn't happy. LeBron isn't happy. Nobody's happy. We're going to hear from someone who is very happy on the other side of the break. And I got to tell you, it doesn't just include the NFL draft. It also includes Topgolf. I'm going to explain on the other side.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer for joining us in our last break. And we've talked about a lot of angry people so far this hour. Knicks not happy, or excuse me, Sixers not happy that they got beat by the Knicks. And also the Lakers not happy that they were beat by the Nuggets. Lakers having some beefs with the officials, and the 76ers the same. Keith Pompey just shared with us in the last break some of the reports from the NBA as to what happened in that game that would have turned the tide and allowed the Sixers to probably hold on and win. And we'll get to that at the top of the hour. Let's end this hour with some positivity, okay? We'll get to the angry people in a little bit, but let's end on a high note here in the first hour of the show. Some good news. The NFL draft is now 2 days away, okay? It's Thursday evening, first round. We will have all of the coverage here for you on the Infinity Sports Network, myself and Bart Winkler. That's some good news. The second piece of good news is good news all around, so I'll stop counting. There's going to be a lot of happy people that are going to have their lives changed this upcoming Thursday. You're going to get drafted. You're going to get selected. If you're a first rounder, you'll get slotted into making millions of dollars, okay? We're going to have a lot of happy quarterbacks because we have a lot of miserable NFL teams that are looking to hopefully change their fortunes with guys like, I don't know, Caleb Williams, if you happen to be the Chicago Bears. We can look at Penix Jr. We don't know where he's going to end up. Yesterday, we talked about Jaden Daniels, and he probably wants to end up with Las Vegas, and more than likely going to end up with the Commanders. And so, yeah, we got a lot of QBs, guys that are going to get taken. People will be disappointments and what have you. And then there's Drake May. You know, one of the issues, as I mentioned, Jaden Daniels, it was reported that he wasn't happy that when visiting with the Washington Commanders, that they didn't just sit down and visit and talk with him, that they had some of the other highly touted prospects there as well. And no, not Caleb Williams, because he's going to go to the Bears. But reportedly, the Commanders sat down with J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. And they all had, I guess, one big old powwow. Now, typically, you don't sit around and have everybody and host everyone at one damn time. Well, not if you're the Commanders. You bring everybody in at one time and you just get it on the hell out the way. And so not only did they meet and go to the facility, not only did they have a chance to talk to the coaches and the coaches with the QBs, they also went to the happiest place on earth. Hickey, tell me if you've been. Topgolf.
I've actually never been.
You ain't missing nothing. Are you intrigued? Really? Do I need to tell you what it is? You know what it is.
No, I know what it is. I'm intrigued. I would like to go. It seems on the surface at least fun, but I've never ventured over there so far.
Yeah. It's a bunch of people who don't necessarily play golf lined up to drive the ball into an open, I don't even, what do I call it? A range? Is that even appropriate?
Yeah, no, it's a driving range.
Yeah, but that whole space, like, you got to try to hit the ball into certain places. It's like a video game.
Right, they got targets there, right, that you hit? Long drive, yeah. Points.
Yeah, and behind that, they got a bar and food, and just people go to swing a club, and it's nice for kids. It's nice for a date. Nice for a corporate event. And so the Washington Commander said, let's take the quarterback prospects to Topgolf. I mean, some of these guys may hate golf. Some of them may like it. I mean, maybe they wanted to play golf. Maybe they didn't. This is probably one of the reasons that Jaden Daniels did not enjoy this. But somebody who did, he loved it. He's in a good mood. It's Drake May. He was chatted up with This Is Football, and he said he liked the conversation. He liked the Commander's approach of just having all the quarterbacks together at one time. Listen to this.
I actually thought it was one of the cool events I've been on. I think, you know, we always kind of these different places you go and see, kind of a steak dinner spot. And, you know, just you're surrounded with, you know, the head coach and GM and quarterback coaches. And then the Commanders took an approach of all of us being together and seeing how we interact and getting a chance to swing the golf club a little bit. I enjoyed it, you know, be around the other guys. Got to meet a lot of different guys throughout the process and a lot of, you know, guys I saw in high school recruiting. I remember Amarius Mims. Yeah. I tried to get him committed to Alabama when I was committed there in high school. Again, full circle. I know JJ well and seeing Jaden and those guys was, you know, I think it was a really cool experience for me. I think you know, we all got our separate time with the coaches when we need to. It's not like we didn't do any of that. But Topgolf was just a way for us to get out and do something fun the evening before.
Okay. How about that? The Washington Commanders, no longer under Daniel Snyder, they're looking to have fun. I mean, what the hell were they doing all of those years while Daniel Snyder owned the team? Were they taking the prospects to, I guess, a steakhouse would be appropriate. Or in the case of Daniel Snyder, maybe he took him to a strip club. Probably not. We would have heard about that story by now. But I guess why not? Like, who cares? And I guess in the case of Drake May, when you think about where he was months ago, even before we got to the college playoff, and how about this, even early in the season for North Carolina, which ultimately left a lot to be desired, Drake May basically carried that team and his numbers suffered as a result. Before we headed into the season, Drake May was expected to be one of the top prospects. And now you got a guy in Jaden Daniels who wins the Heisman and ultimately jumps him. And so if I'm Drake May and I'm trying to hold my pole position and then I got Jaden Daniels and then another guy in J.J. McCarthy who actually won a championship with Michigan, people are looking at him and going, oh, maybe he's going to get taken first. Maybe he'll be selected before me. I'd be kissing everybody's behind, too. They could have taken him to Chuck E. Cheese and Drake May would have been sitting around telling everybody, oh, it was fun. I had a great experience. He wants to get drafted by the Commanders, okay? The Washington Commanders will be selecting number 2 in the draft. And Drake May is trying to do and say everything possible to get that number 2 slot. Because we know who's going number 1. And Topgolf, it ain't the thing for everybody. But it's certainly something that Drake May is going to he's going to highlight the positive experience so he can up his draft stock, I guess, by any means necessary. Hickey, if you had to entertain a group of NFL quarterback prospects, where the hell would you take them?
Ooh, Topgolf is interesting. Maybe bowling?
Bowling
would be fun. See the competitive juices come out, you know, see who interacts with who can bowl well, pull a spin on it.
So if a quarterback sucks at bowling or top golf, do you change your approach to whether or not you're going to pick him at QB?
I do. If he sucks, I'm taking him. You know what that means? He's not practicing bowling. He's practicing throwing the football. Don't want a guy that's too good at golf or bowling.
What if the quarterback shows up? He's like, man, I don't like top golf. I ain't playing. I'm going to hang out here on the side. Is he now not competitive?
People got to ask. Are you afraid to compete? I think it's a fair question to ask.
Yeah, these are the wild. This is almost like going to the NFL draft combine. And being asked, hey, about your mother, right? Isn't that what one of these guys asked one day?
Unfortunately, yes.
Say, hey, what does your mother do late at night? Like, what does that have to do with him? It's wild stuff. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to talk about more angry athletes on the other side. Don't move.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.